Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Please, can you appreciate the choir? Let's appreciate them better, please. Let's appreciate them better. Yesterday evening, they had to do a voice training to be able to sing this song. I heard you when you were doing quang, 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 and I said they had to go ask, let me check where all was well. Praise God. And you did all that just for less than 10 minutes of presentation. The Lord will honor you in Jesus' name. God never loses a battle. He has not lost. And it will not start with your own in the name of Jesus. That's the confidence we have. This morning, I greet all the pastors. Mommy sends her greetings. She went for Pastor Wale's wedding and tried to touch base in Lagos. And by God's grace, she'll be back by Tuesday. Pastor B, Mama Bello, you are welcome. I can't say we are welcome. Good morning. Can I be saying welcome in church again? It's good morning. Praise God. I've greeted you good morning. It's a good, and this official good morning. Amen. Pastor Dele, Pastor Dansu, good morning. Please, can we put it up for Pastor Ogi, the birthday pastor. Hallelujah. We'll celebrate you. Amen. A pastor may not take us to the Republic of Chicken, but something, we just trust God. Hallelujah. Amen. They call it Chicken Republic. I call it Republic of Chicken. Sister Olamide's birthday was yesterday. Can we appreciate her? Sister Olamide, can you raise your hand for recognition? Some people don't know you. That is her. That is she. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. Trusting God for more celebrations in Jesus' name. This morning, I'm trusting the Lord. I would bring something dear to my heart. Please, I'm not referring to anybody, but I'm referring to somebody. Hallelujah. Who said so before? Buhari. Amen. Glory to God. So, that's a political statement. Sure, you understand. Amen. Media, this television monitor is not working. Is it deliberate? It has given up a ghost. Mommy Bukun, good morning. Nice to see you again. Thank God for everything. She understand. I saw the something. Amen. He leads us a triumphant procession. The devil is a liar. He creates crisis. And you're like, this is the end. No, but it's not the end. It will always come to pass that the matter will pass. It will become mystery and a testimony. And the Lord will keep giving you testimonies in Jesus' name. Like I said this morning, I'm speaking to no one, but I'm speaking to somebody. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost for utterance in Jesus' name. My Father, I'd like to thank you for this morning and for the honor and privilege to speak your word. I'm asking, Lord, to help me. That you will grant me the utterance. You order my thoughts in the way it should be in the name of Jesus. That the word will come as that of the pen of the ready writer. That as I inscribe understanding, we follow it. Wisdom will come with it. And ability to do will be imparted. That the name of Jesus will be glorified in the name of Jesus. I'm asking Holy Ghost that you will glorify Jesus in our midst. That you also will let your angels minister alongside with me as we minister together to the ears of salvation in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I'll be continuing with the theme. I am continuing with the theme on Sunday about the warfare of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. That's what I want to continue on. But that is not the title. So I will leave the media to find a title appropriate for it. But if I were to give it a title, I would talk about enlistment, those who God enlists. Enlistment, praise God. In every army, there is always an enlistment. God, they must enlist people. And I want to look at two, three kinds of people that were enlisted into an army. Can we go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 52? Now, this is a type of what's going on in the kingdom. There are two kingdoms at war. There is light and there is darkness. There is light and there is what? There is darkness. And the Bible said, the Bible told us that the first type of the prototype concept of kingdom was initiated and established in the days of Saul. Amen. Now, when Israel came out of Egypt, God gave instructions to Israel the kind of person that will be king over them. So there was a provision for Israel to have a king. But the reasons and the timing for getting a king was wrong. And the Bible said that out of anger, God gave them Saul. Praise God. Sometimes democracy may not be the best. Amen. Now they received Saul, and Samuel warned them that this man will conscript your sons. He will take your fields, and he will do many things that you may not like. They said, we still want him all the same. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, but that is not the emphasis this morning. This is the emphasis. The Bible says, and there was Saul war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, what did he do to him? He took him. He did not ask for the man's permission. He did not ask his parents whether that guy could be conscripted or not. Praise God. And I think that is what any nation at war normally do. Right now, you are the one that, you know, we are in peace time. People apply for NDA and all that. They decide to pick who they want to pick. But if there arises a situation where there is a full-scale war, there will be no choice. Every young person in this hall this morning will be forcefully conscripted, except you are sick. Hallelujah. It's before that they will say you must have a certain height in the army. Last week I was going to Akumba, and one small boy was in army uniform. I was like, when did Nigerian army start recruiting small boys? Small, praise God. Are you with me? Small boy. That on a normal day, you should ask him to kneel down and close his eyes. But that's how things have come. So this man was conscripted. Now, the issue is not just the conscription. The issue was that there was war between the kingdom of Israel, headed by Saul, and the kingdom of the Philistines, which is a type of the satanic. Am I communicating? We're in similar positions today, that God kingdom is at war with darkness. But we cannot, he cannot and will not conscript forcibly, because by his nature, he will not force you. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? The spirit of Saul will force you. It will compel you, whether you like it or you really don't like it. Now, I will give you another example. Now, look at 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. There was another king who was already anointed, but had not been recognized publicly. Are you there? David therefore departed there and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his fathers had heard it, they went down thither to him. Look at 1 Chronicles 11, 15. 1 Chronicles 11, 15. This was the first set of people who formed David's army. Amen. Remember the first set of people that formed Jesus' army. Where did they come from? Nazareth. In that region of Galilee. Praise God. They were local guys, local fishermen, poor-looking riffraffs, as it were. Those are the first set of people that gathered to him. Now, further down the line, in 1 Chronicles 11, 15, the Bible says, and three of the 30 captives went down to the rock to David and unto the cave Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Now, if we read the story further, you'll find that as things went on, people willingly submitted themselves to David. Are you with me? David didn't force anybody. He did not conscript people by force. Saul conscripted people by force. David did not conscript by force. People yielded willingly. They came to meet him in the cave of Adullam. Are you with me? If you read further on, the Bible says, even the men from Ephraim, men from Manasseh, what tribe was Saul from? Benjamin. People from Benjamin came and submitted to David. Hallelujah. The scripture says, in the days of his power, his people shall be willing. So what God is orchestrating in the earth is that men will willingly submit to him as men submitted to David. It won't follow the technology of Saul by conscripting you. Praise God. I say hallelujah. Amen. And so this is a type that the church must understand. That God needs men in his army, but he will not forcibly conscript you. You have to willingly give up your liberty. Now, somebody said, we are sons that have given up our sonship to serve the Father. Do you understand that? Can you understand that? You are a son. And by reason of the fact that you are a son, you are supposed to be served. But God wants you as a son to relinquish that privilege. Give it up. And decide to serve him as a servant. Amen. Jesus, Bible says Jesus left us a pattern. Even though he was God, gave up his rights as God to become a servant, to die the death of a horrible criminal. Not just a common criminal, specialized criminal. They only reserve crucifixion for specialized criminals. Hallelujah. Am I communicating to us this morning? Am I making sense? Praise God. And so we find that Jesus, when he came to, though you see him conscripting, it was not by force. It was an invitation. You know, when he was passing through that, in Matthew 4:18, the Sea of Galilee, the Bible saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus has been conscripting people, but not by force. You know, a time came in the book of John, after Jesus made certain pronouncements, he made certain statements, and the Bible says people were offended and they all went back. People walked away. And he turned to the rest of them. I said, why are you guys not? Well, I expected you that you will go, you get away. And he said, well, we will go. In other words, there was no time. Jesus, even conscripting them, forced them to stay. Hallelujah. I hope you know where I'm going. I'm asking you this morning, are you going to yield yourself to fight the Lord's battle? Or do we need to force you before you will do it? Many of us are not making ourselves available at all. Many of us are just, I want my life and my life alone. How far will you go? Did Jesus not say, he that keeps his life, what will he do? What will happen to it? Say we lose it. He has told us what will happen. But he still wants you to willingly bring it and say, I lay it on the altar. Praise the Lord. Without you willingly bringing it, the sacrifice will not be acceptable. Amen. When men came to David, they willingly came and submitted their souls, submitted their skills. When you read it, First Chronicles, chapter 12, when they began to list the men of David, my God, those men were warriors. Hallelujah. If left to me, if they gave me the opportunity to choose a king, I would not have chosen David. Because some of those men were more skillful than David when it comes to skill. We choose by skill. They were more skillful. David could only throw stones, Abby. There were men that followed him that could use both right and left. There were men that their faces looked like lions. I don't know how they looked. Amen. How can men, special men from a particular tribe, but they were not brothers and sisters, so they just, can I speak colloquial language? They were born unbeknownst separately. Yeah, when they came together, their face changed. I think when they came to David, their face just changed. And they became like lions. And the Bible said they could cross the Jordan River in full flood. They swam across. Those were not ordinary men. Amen. Am I making sense? But they were skillful. They did not come unskilled. They came skilled. But they came to submit and said, we want to establish the kingdom. But also they came to turn the kingdom back to David. That was all that was on their mind. So I'm asking you today, you are born again. What is your singular objective? Many of us, we have different objectives. Though. Some of you are coming to church because it is the social... Every normal human being goes to church. Hallelujah. Before I came up, my classmate is a Muslim. He now posted, just sent a video on our summer. I just heard that of my mama. Salute. I just said, okay, when you should be in church, you are sending video. He said, me too. I should be preaching. I'm responding. Amen. Are you with me, church? Well, I've not come up to preach, so I was still in there when I responded. Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say is this. Many are here because of what they want to get. They follow Jesus. There was a particular day they followed Jesus, and they didn't see him. After the miracle of bread and fish, you remember that time? They now passed the day to say, looking for Jesus. They searched for him all the whole day. One day they now met him. Master, we'll be looking for you throughout the day. Where have you been? He said, you do not look for me because... He said, you came because of bread. If we come, call. Praise God. The disciples came because they wanted to sit on the right and left. Praise God. Everybody has a different reason why he's here. But the men that served David had only one objective. Turn the kingdom back to David. That was all. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. No wonder Jesus told the 12 disciples, says, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise is released. Amen. From the day of Jesus' ascension, I'm told that it took about, maybe it could have taken about 10 days. It was after Jesus' ascension. He was with them for 40 days. Abi? After resurrection, he was with them for 40 days. Because between that crucifixion and Pentecost is 50 days. So if you remove 40 out of 50, how many days remain? So can you imagine coming to church, meeting every day for 10 days? Are you with me? But do you realize the kind of prayer they would have been praying? He said, pray. No. For the promise. So you have a father, the promise, the father, the promise. Oh, father, the promise. After a while, prayer point will finish. Abi? Then you say, Oluwa, will go me. Praise God. I guess the first few days was Oluwa, will go me, Oluwa, will go me. After a while, they got fed up and the Holy Ghost began to direct their thoughts. And I guess as they were praying, he was judging many, many different kinds of ambitions. He had to start, he had to be convicting them. This ambition, you must drop it. This one that you are believing God to do, you must drop it. Because there's no way they can give you that power and you are double-minded. I don't know whether I'm making sense. You can't be double-minded. You cannot collect that power and go and use it to go and build up a refinery in Lekki. It's a waste. I don't know whether I'm communicating. So they needed to deal with their life objective. They needed their life ambition. And I believe Jesus by his spirit was dealing with all those things. And by the day Pentecost came, their heart was one. What was in their mind? That they could push the kingdom forward. Hallelujah. People are believing God for a revival. It will not come until the heart of the people is ready. The next revival will not happen until our hearts are ready. In the days that have gone, when it will just pour, and only a few people's hearts are ready will be the ones to carry it and do great things, and then they will write your name as a general. Hallelujah. But those days are gone. The days that we are entering, that will birth the harvest, will be days when men will be generous in their own selves. People will go far and they will carry the grace of God. Oh, of course, there will be spectacular champions. But everyone will be a champion in his own right. So, but the issue is that, is your ambition standing in the way that will not allow you to be enlisted? There was a man that was enlisted. His name is Timothy. Can we look at his character? Timothy. Let's go to Acts of Apostles. 16, verses 1 to 4. Acts 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple. Was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He would Paul have to go forth with him. Praise God. He will Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. This was the point that I was talking about circumcision in Romans 4. Praise God. But that is a story for another day. Amen. There was a disciple whose name was Timotheus. Well reported. That was the only qualification that Timotheus had. And we know nothing else later on than where Paul said there was a faith that dwelt in his grandmother. Then we found that faith was also in his mother. I wonder why the mother married a Greek. If that faith was there, because the faith demanded that you cannot afford, you should not marry anybody outside of the tribe of Israel. But the woman went to marry a Greek. That's a story for another day. Praise God. So I don't get distracted. But the son was well reported. I want to believe that there were other things that Paul saw in Timotheus, or Timothy as the Greeks will call him or whatever, that endeared Paul to him. Now, listen to me. The man must have had an ambition. His parents must have had ambition for him. But the Bible says that Paul saw him, spoke with him, and he said, I will go with you. He gave up all. Now, some of you tell me, Pastor, I have no calling for ministry. That's a lie. Tell your neighbor, it's a lie. That is not truth. You remember I told you about truth and fact. The fact is that not all of us may stand here to handle microphone, but the truth that all have been called. The summons to join his army has gone out to the world. Amen. He has summoned us. The day you said, I give my life, a call is upon your head. Amen. If you now turn around, may we not stand before God and put our hand. Have you been in trouble before the principal? You know that kind of arrangement. It is worse with God, though. I was telling somebody yesterday or 2 days ago. I said to him, it is the honor. Is it the honor or the glory? I mix it up. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out. Pelebi, see, you did not IVG. It is well with you. Amen. Go and stand up at the back. Don't sleep. It is not a sin. Praise God. Am I still in church? All right. It is the honor of who? It's the honor of kings. If you are going to be a king, you must search it out. You must know what the will of God is. Did Jesus not say that some with those who don't know the will of God and do things worthy of stripes will be beaten? That you are ignorant of his will does not exempt you from being punished. So it pays you to sit down and find out what is his will for your life. Everybody has a commission. Jesus told again, he said, many never discover their commission till the day they die. They never ask. They never do. Even those of us who ask, we never even pass stage one. Me, I'm saying that I'm called down. I'm enjoying myself. I'm only praying that God will just have mercy on me and let me know the different stages that I still have to do. Mr. Sherman, at the age of 80, something was about to go. He said, well, I've served God. I've finished my race. I've done the good fight. Holy Ghost said, you have not finished, bro. Said, there's still one. For all these years, all the things I've taken you through all these years is for one reason. I want to prove whether I can trust you. He gave him anointing. He went to nations. He did miracles. He got, and you are saying you wanted to test him whether I can be trusted. I think we need to know God, though. If Les Ramon did that just to be tested, I don't know my own position. If I have a problem, all of you have more problems than me. Praise God. So in other words, all of us here this morning, we are all in problem. Except God have mercy. He has to have mercy. But the issue was that you have to find out. You can't keep on living your life the way you are living it, and you are deceiving yourself, saying, I have no such calling. It's a lie. There's a commission upon your life. Find it and excel there. Hallelujah. There's a summons. This young man was summoned, and the summon was to be with Paul as the apostles were with Jesus. Amen. It was the same young man Paul was to write to. He said, look for men that are faithful. And the things you have learned from me, the things I have taught you, commit to those faithful men. So I want to believe that when they said it was well reported, I want to believe that what Paul saw in him was faithfulness. I want to ask you, are you a faithful person? Are you dependable? Can we commit sacred things into your hands and we are sure you will not mess it up? Some of you, it is money they will lend you. You will not pay back. And you want to carry anointing. It doesn't work. He said, if a man is faithful in another man's business, then we can trust him with his own riches. You have not undo your riches, though. Dangote has not touched the riches God has in mind for him. He has not even come close. He doesn't even know it. There are riches, though. And those riches are found in Ephesians chapter 1, Abi. God has blessed us with what? Those riches are massive. Being rich in faith, is that not riches? Well, yeah, I will make you rich. This dollar that enter your head. You need salvation. God does not spend dollars. He trades in the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Humility. You are rich in humility. That when the depth of pride comes, you are so rich that your humility subdues the depth of pride. Pride can't enter. You are full of humility. Amen. Nothing can come your way that your heart will shake. Praise God. Then you can say you are rich. Then when there is a need, you are rich in faith. Nothing moves you because sufficient abundance faith day. Hallelujah. So Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Those are the riches of the Spirit. Am I communicating this morning? This man, all right, let's leave the heavenly places. I'm talking about Timothy. Submitted to the doctrine, submitted to the discipline. The first discipline he submitted to was circumcision. At that age, it was painful. Go and ask the Jews when they crossed River Jordan. It was painful. I remember was it that city that Simon and Levi went to circumcise because of their sister? They were grounded there for days. They could not. When Simon came in with the Simon and Levi slaughtered the whole city. A whole city. I don't know how many those guys were. But can you imagine him entering? And those men saw him with the sword coming and they could not move. Like, we are finished. Strong men. That's how painful or movable circumcision can be to an adult. Amen. My principal one day beat a lot of us because I was hell in our souls. We used to make noise. Doing siesta, we made noise. We played. We didn't have siesta. The man just sent word. Where the word of a king is. Say, we are grounded. Nobody's going for afternoon prep. All of us stayed there in our hostel. He now came. Ground floor, forms one and form two. If you are form one, you collect one stroke. If you are form two, two strokes. If you are from three strokes. If you are from four strokes. If you are from five strokes. If you are from six, lower and upper six strokes. He beat the whole dormitory from bottom to top. The man, he started around 2. I think we ended around 6:30. The demons inside our souls left. Amen. It's called discipline. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to submit for circumcision? Because it is good to say, I want to follow the man of God, I want to serve God, but they cannot use you until they circumcise you. Because the enemy will attack you. The Bible says, because of the Jews. Is that not what the Bible says? It said his father was a Greek, right? Because all the Jews in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So his ministry would have been cut short because what they would be seeing is a Gentile, not a Jew. And to make him acceptable, they had to circumcise him. There are things you cannot do in the realm of the spirit. Satan's demons will not accept. They must circumcise your heart. I want to round up. You remember 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Paul now began to write to Timothy and was expounding on this, which I want to speak about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20, 22. I want to say this as I bring this to close. Please, men and brethren. Men and brethren. Is it men and brethren? Paul said, just get. Forget, I don't know. 20, I said 20 to 22. He said, but in a great house. Please pay attention to this principle. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. Let me stop there before I continue. Keep it there. In a big house, listen to me. The church is a big house. The church is what? It's a big house. And it's alluding to a fact in the natural that every house has vessels. You have vessels of gold, vessels of earth, and all kinds. There are vessels that are reserved for honorable use. And there are vessels that are reserved for dishonorable use. Every house has it. Except, brother, you did not marry a good wife. If you marry a good wife, there are certain places that are sacred. I don't know what I'm talking. Did you notice your mother has such a shame? When I want your giddy bad day, they go and bring it out where it is kept. Hallelujah. And they present it. It's not for common people. Praise God. It's for honorable people. And when the honorable people have gone, you go back and you wash it and return it where it was kept. That thing can be there for the next 20 years until another honorable man or woman comes. I don't know whether I'm communicating. When ordinary men and women come to visit, they bring out the ordinary one and say, "Egba, elolo." Is that not how it works? That's what Paul is saying. Every house has it. Every church has it. And that's the way God sees us. He now said that the choice for us, those vessels had no choice because that was how they were made. They were made, this one was made of gold, this one was made of earth. They had no choice. But for us, he now said, the next verse, now, if, everybody say if. If is what? Conditional statement. If. If is a choice you have to make. If a man therefore purge himself from this. There are things he has said earlier on. Are you with me? You can imagine all those things that are not right, that does not make up for what is proper for a person that will serve God's purpose. If you will purge yourself from those things that inhibit you from serving God properly, if you will purge yourself from those works of the flesh and those wrong ambitions and those confused lifestyles that you have imbibed from your fathers, if you will purge yourself, you will be a vessel unto what? Unto honor. Sanctified. We come across sanctification again, right? That means it is separated from common use. When you separate, you wash those plates, those fine glass cups, fine ceramic Chinese plates, and you separate, and you put them in certain places, what you have done is what you have done, you have sanctified them. Hallelujah. If you will be a vessel that is of honor, that is sanctified, and is meet, the word meet that is qualified. Please listen. There's nobody God cannot use. God is using everybody. Everybody is used by God. Hallelujah. Even Satan. You don't know? You don't know that Satan is being used by God? You may not say, Pastor said it. As is, he is. Is God's Navdak. I've said it before. When you say, Blessing is holy, he will call and say, "Bros, go and test it whether it's really holy." Hallelujah. And you come and say, "Is it true you're holy?" Okay. Take this first test. Take this second test. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's having God's purpose. Hallelujah. Sure, you understand. Beyond that, it's still going to hell. Understand that. If you purge yourself, but if you choose not to purge yourself, you will be a vessel unto what? Dishonor. They will still use you, but they will discard you. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Because you chose not to, as you are. When we're coppers, they used to say, ajuaya. It's actually as you were. We turn it to ajuaya. Praise God. As you are, they will use you. It may be God, it may be Satan, anyhow. You know, there are some people in church, their job is to make people's lives miserable. That is their job. You say, "Lord, humble me, I need humility." They will just raise somebody and anoint him with problem, and it will become a source of problem to you. Then you will now know whether you have humility or you don't have humility. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand me. Have you been in a hostel like that? You have roommates like that, they are horrible human beings. They had a service. God sent them there to help you. Hallelujah. They were servants of God unto your salvation. If you can live with them and you did not throw punches, you will have a successful marriage. Praise God. Do you follow me? They were very abrasive. They were sharpening, they were grinding those rough edges in your life. They were vessels unto dishonor, but they were still useful in any case. Do you follow me? So there are people like that in the church. But if you would make up your mind that I don't want that kind of service, I don't want that kind of job, I want something more noble, something more honorable, then the Bible says you have to do something. You have to purge yourself. The next verse says, meet for master's use and prepared unto every good work. Prepared, that means they can use you for any good work. The master looks at you and says, I need this person in Ikwisha. They deploy you there. Oh, and they say, okay, I don't want you in Ikwisha anymore. Can you get to Houston, Canada? Is Houston, Canada? Now, you will realize that you are not going to Canada or Houston because you want to go and serve yourself. You are going there with a sense of purpose that the kingdom has deployed you. Praise the Lord. That was a mentality that they helped, that helped us in our growing something. Anywhere we are deployed by heaven. I will not forget that drama that Mount Zion did, the unprofitable servant. Never end up becoming an unprofitable servant. Don't let heaven regret they ever raised you. Don't let heaven regret they ever blessed you. Don't let them regret they deployed so much, they gave so much resources to you. There was a tribe called the tribe of Ephraim. The Bible said they were fully armed in the day of battle, but they turned back. These men were prepared unto every good work. They were useful for any work ever wanted them. The next verse. He now said, do what? Do what? They had also. Shema also means also. Thank you. In addition to the ones you have poured yourself, there's another one. Go. That is very, very dangerous. They call them youthful lusts. There is no youth. So some of you look at us and say, we are old school. There's nothing you are passing through that we did not pass through. There's nothing. Tell me, what are you passing through? That is strange. That you tell me and I'll say, your own temptation is bigger than my own temptation. It's a lie. Amen. Are you with me? When you get to see Jesus, say, Jesus, I wish you lived in our days. I wish you lived. Go easy. We had to do answers. Jesus will look at you and shake his head. There's nothing. So he went through every temptation any man will ever go through. He went through it. Yet, he made a choice. He made a decision. He did not commit any sin. Hallelujah. So, I'm asking you. Don't say you are not called. You have been called. You do not have right to indulge yourself in riotous living. You don't have the right. If you do not know, from today, you know. You don't have a right. If you leave this church today and you go and start doing riotous living, you are to blame. Oh, my hand is not there. Anything that comes out of it, you are your own. Oh. Am I communicating? You are your own. Praise God. But what should you do? Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of what? A pure heart. Now, these things may be boring to some, but after a while, you realize that this is what they call life. This is really life. This is life. The life that Jesus promised us, this is the life. You don't understand. See, the life that Jesus promised us is a life of adventure. It's a life that you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. It's a life you are living on the edge. Praise God. And it's a life full of testimonies. I know many of us have arranged our lives carefully that we do not fall into embarrassing situations. I understand that. Me too, I'm doing it. Hallelujah. I identify with your problem. Both of us are in it. But really, really speaking, if we will let God have his way, that life is full of adventure. How many of you have watched adventure films? Okay, you don't know. Which one is this film? I'll talk about me with film. Indiana Jones. How many of you have watched Indiana Jones? God bless. Okay. You're an expert too. Hallelujah. When you watch Indiana Jones, you don't know what will happen next. Okay, let me talk. Which film is that one? I don't know what's going to happen next. Jack Bauer. You don't know what is going to happen. You are on your seat. I must watch the next minute. This is the last scene I will watch. It's a lie. That next scene is going to create another crisis. I must watch what's going to happen. Until you spend 4 hours, a whole day. You will spend 24 hours because you are captivated. Praise God. That is how your life in Christ should be. That is full of adventures. Hallelujah. The Lord will be with us in Jesus' name. You have been summoned, but they want you to willfully yield your heart and say, I want to join this army. And if you're going to join the Lord's army, you must purge yourself. You must have your heart circumcised. Like I told us, in 10 days, God needed to circumcise their hearts. Those funny ambitions they carried, they had to expunge it from their hearts. I want us to pray this morning. I want you to talk to God. As I was speaking, I sensed the Lord was bringing conviction. And I was talking to you. You don't say, I have no call. There's a call on your life. You don't say, you don't have a call. That lie that you have accepted is a sin. You need to repent of it. You need to repent of it. Some say, oh God, I have my program. You need to repent of that. That you have not taken time to ask God, what is the purpose? What is the commission over my life? Itself is a sin. Because you have been walking in disobedience either too. You need to repent of it. You can't say, oh Lord, I'm too young. That was what Jeremiah said. He said, I'm too young. You can't say, oh Lord, I'm too old. It doesn't cut ice with the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And if you have begun to find purpose, why not ask the Lord? Lord, because Jesus said it is in stages. Lord, what is the stage? What is the next assignment? This man is prepared for every good work. What assignment is still there in the curriculum, in the commission, in your posting? What are the other things I need to do? Those men brought their skills to David with one singular thought to turn the kingdom back to David. That was all that was on their minds. This is my desire, O God, that this ambition will supersede and override whatever ambition may be on my mind. I'm giving up my ambitions this day. I'm asking you, Lord, to open my eyes more, to know where I fit into the plan and what you want me to do part time. You may need to purge yourself. So if this man will purge himself, there may be a need for a purging. Purging yourself from those things that disqualifies a man. You need to purge yourself. You need to flee youthful lusts. Some of us are giving too much attention to youthful lust. Some of us, it's our physical beauty, is our physical things that is driving us. Some of us, it's our career. Those are things that are militating against you being effective. We need to be single-eyed. Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us this trespass that we have trespassed against you. We have believed a lie. We have lived a lie. We have reveled in lies and self-deceit. I ask you for forgiveness, O God. I ask you to cleanse us. I ask you to purge our hearts, purge our souls from all these wrong things. We want to purge ourselves. We want to be a vessel. Tell the Lord, I want to be a vessel to honor. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I don't want to be a vessel the Lord will discard. At the end of the day, we'll say, I don't know you. I don't need you. You were never useful to me. You were running your own show. I don't want to be discarded. Lord, have mercy on me. Hear my cry, Lord. Hear the cries of our hearts, O God. Touch our hearts. Many of us, we have to make adjustments. Lord, help us with the adjustments that we need to make. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to know where we need to make these adjustments in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us. Oh, mahalabondria dos sekle nombre dosht. Mendini mandrino sobrehali protust. E filimon prados sekle mandria. Duzele mandria doste. Fendre dize lombro sobredino sotenda. E fendre nembro no moste. Some of us may not even know what to do next. Ask the Lord to lead you. He said he's the shepherd of our souls. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He will lead me. He will lead me into green pastures. There is a leading component of the shepherd. Lord, help me. I'm not there yet. I'm not there. I can't stand here and tell anyone that I've finished the race. I've fought the good fight. Some of us have not even started fighting. We've not started fighting. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. You have not even defined the fight. We are talking about enlisting you, yielding to the call, the summons, responding. God is building his army, but he will not force you. He can only call you. He may choose not to respond. But Lord, we are here this day asking for mercy. Help us. Many of us are confused. Let your light shine upon our path. Let your light shine into our hearts, that we may begin to see clearly what the Lord has for us. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. My Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for helping me to bring this word. But Lord, I know that I've not spoken. Strongly enough. Or sufficient enough. Therefore, I'm asking that whatever is deficient in this preaching, you will explain to your people the more in the name of Jesus. I'm asking that you will have mercy on us. You know our limitations, but it has never been an excuse. We don't want to go down to our graves telling ourselves the same lies that we're never called. I pray, Father, that eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. We will know the hope to which you've called us. We'll appreciate the call. And you grant strength to us to respond in the name of Jesus. There are people here who know what they've been called to do, but they've not been able or strong enough to purge themselves. I am praying and asking that you will step in and give strength to us to be able to make that decision and purge ourselves from those things that have made us unfit. In the name of Jesus. I pray concerning our ambitions. Some of us are very ambitious. But the ambition has nothing to do with your kingdom. I am praying for forgiveness. That there will be a change of hearts. A searching of hearts. And a conviction by the Holy Spirit. That you will begin to draw attention to the things that we need to give up. So that we can receive and implement your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. For those of us who have found what you have called us to, I pray that we will not get to a place where we are self-sufficient in ourselves and I think that we are okay. But you will show us the next assignments I will be strong enough to step in by faith in the name of Jesus. I pray that when the revival and the release of your spirit come, no one here will be found wanting. No one here will be missing. That everyone will take his or her place, even Lord as a champion in his or her own rights in the name of Jesus. I thank you, my Father. Give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Anyone that is here that needs to give his life up to Christ, you would give your life to Jesus. You've not given your life before. There is a summons at his house. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's a rest that God is giving out. Do you want to give your heart? Anyone? Maybe you've given before, you backslided, as we normally say. You went back. Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If there's anybody like that. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.